This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. We have two stories for you today. In the first one, there are such places where science and religion mix. One such place is the field of biblical archaeology. Discoveries from archaeological digs in the Middle East increasingly are confirming the biblical narrative. Dr. Craig Evans is a professor of New Testament at Acadia University in Canada. He's been on a number of biblical archaeological digs, and he shared his insights with me in an interview. In the second story, when we think of missionary work, it's often of far-off places where people have never heard of the gospel. But there's an increasing need for missionary work right here in the United States, as Pastor Daniel Vogel discovered when he moved to Western Iowa. I speak with him about his mission work later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Likening support for the Jewish state to endorsing historical evils like apartheid and the Spanish Inquisition, Steve Haas, Vice President of World Vision, attacks both Israel and Christians who support Israel in a recently published excerpt from a speech he gave at a prominent seminary last year. In his comments, he describes Israel as an apartheid state. He also says that those who hold to the belief of God's promise to Israel, quote, "This theological position has backed the largest and longest occupation of another people group in modern history." Haas asserts that the economic hardships of the Palestinian people is due to Israeli occupation, without ever mentioning the responsibility of the Palestinian government. Robert Stearns of Eagle's Wings challenges Haas' statements as he asserts, quote, "When it comes to Israel, World Vision needs an eye exam." While affirming World Vision's commitment to social justice as one expression of our Christian faith, he challenges this charity that has an annual budget of $1 billion to re-examine its facts on the ground. Canada's highest court struck down a ban on doctor-assisted suicide for mentally competent patients with terminal illnesses, declaring that outlawing that option deprives dying people of their dignity and autonomy. The Canadian Supreme Court's unanimous decision reverses its own decision of two decades ago and gives Parliament and provincial legislators a year to draft new legislation that recognizes the right of consenting adults who are enduring what they call intolerable suffering to seek medical help, ending their lives. The judgment says the ban infringes on the life, liberty, and security of individuals under Canada's Constitution. It had been illegal in Canada to counsel, aid, or abet suicide, an offense carrying a maximum prison sentence of 14 years. The 114th United States Congress, which convened January the 6th, includes two newly elected Missouri Synod Lutherans, bringing to seven the total number of LCMS Lutherans serving in Congress. All are Republicans. Joining the U.S. Senate, Cory Gardner of Colorado, a former House member, and joining the House of Representatives, Glenn Grothman of Wisconsin. They join the following lawmakers who are also members of LCMS congregations: Dr. Larry Buckshin of Indiana, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, Eric Paulson of Minnesota, Dave Reichardt of Washington, and John Shimkus of Illinois. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Hi, Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Roglin leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Это Всемирные Лютеранские Новости.
There are those who believe science and religion don't mix, but there are instances when science reinforces religion. One such discipline is called biblical archaeology, where the science of archaeology confirms much of the Bible. Dr. Craig Evans is a New Testament professor at Acadia University in Nova Scotia. I asked Dr. Evans to define archaeology.
Yeah, well, archaeology, first of all, the definition of it, no matter what kind of archaeology it is the recovery of the remains of material culture. So it's the physical objects left behind by human beings.
One branch of archaeology is biblical archaeology.
Biblical archaeology just adds one dimension to it. It's archaeology that relates in some way to biblical literature, particularly biblical narratives that describe events, people, places, and events.
The essential part of biblical archaeology is whether scientific finds in the ruins of ancient civilizations correlate to biblical data. Dr. Evans says that much evidence does exist correlating to biblical narratives.
In other words, if there was no correlation, you couldn't have biblical archaeology. If there was no correlation, we would suspect then that biblical narratives are just nothing more than myths and fairy tales.
In contrast, archaeology has uncovered no correlative evidence supporting the Book of Mormon, for example.
The problem would be like trying to find a correlation between claims in the Book of Mormon and the geographical and topographical and archaeological realities of the American West. There's just no correlation.
Interestingly, biblical archaeology can be followed by people of different religions or no religion at all.
But there is biblical archaeology, so people can be Jews, Christians, atheists, agnostics. It doesn't make any difference. The correlation is there, and therefore the discipline exists.
Professor Evans is a biblical scholar, not an archaeologist, but his interest in the topic has led him to work for a number of archaeological digs.
My own specialty as an armchair observer and not a trained archaeologist but a biblical scholar who wants to know all about archaeology is to visit the digs, volunteer as a digger, and jump down in the trenches with senior citizens, retirees, and university students and do what the archaeologist tells us to do.
He says his firsthand study of archaeology makes him a better scholar.
I think exegesis of an interpretation of the biblical text is much, much better informed if one knows the results of archaeology.
Many biblical scholars do not follow archaeology. Professor Evans says he believes those scholars are missing an important source of information.
Many biblical scholars, they're not even armchair. They don't go to Israel and they don't visit the digs, and they don't read the literature, but they do spin a lot of theories about what they think the narratives are talking about or how they should be understood.
Evans says that archaeology, let alone biblical archaeology, is relatively recent as a true scientific discipline.
Archaeology has matured as a discipline enormously in the last century, especially since World War II.
A century ago, archaeology was largely performed by treasure hunters or adventurers who were not particularly interested in scientific findings.
It was little more than smash and grab, and Schliemann actually would compare a little bit better compared to the kind of stuff we see popularized along the lines of Indiana Jones, which was hardly more than looting.
The local populations also contributed to the destruction of important artifacts.
Papyri was, because it was recognized as valuable, the locals would steal it, so there was and sell it on the black market, antiquities shops, and so on. So it was a very lawless situation toward the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th.
Regrettably, theft is still a major problem plaguing archaeologists.
Unfortunately, artifacts were still being stolen on site and later from storage areas.
Professor Evans says biblical archaeology is more than just apologetics, as some Christians believe.
I think a lot of Christians think that archaeology has an apologetic value, that it proves that the biblical story happened or a certain event really took place. Sometimes it does that. But what it really does, if you're looking for the apologetic value, is that it shows that the biblical world of the narrative actually does reflect a real world, and it's not a fairy tale.
An increasing body of archaeological findings supports the biblical narrative of people, places, and things.
The more correlation we find, the more detail, as trivial as it might be, it has a cumulative effect of showing that the biblical narrative is, in fact, talking about real people who really did live in a real place, in a real time, and the events that are being described actually took place.
As recently as 20 years ago, there was a school of scholarship called Minimalist. The Minimalists maintained that much of the history of ancient Israel was based on folktales, not real people or events.
And 20-some years ago, it was fashionable for Minimalists to say there probably was no King David or King Solomon, or King Saul, for that matter.
Recent discoveries have refuted the Minimalists. For example, a description from an ancient non-Jewish source makes direct reference to the House of David.
And it's not an Hebrew Israelite inscription, it's Syrian in Aramaic, and says, talking about a boundary dispute and an agreement and so on, and refers to the House of David. The inscription dates, we think, right around 800 B.C. Well, it's not likely that an enemy empire is going to refer to a mythological King David.
Another recent discovery makes direct reference to Saul as King of Israel.
And what do we find on this seven-line ostracon, seven Hebrew lines, Paleo-Hebrew, but what appears to be an announcement of the choice of Saul to be Israel's king?
Recent discoveries have all but put an end to the Minimalist movement.
So we've got hard evidence relating exactly to what the biblical narrative says. Saul is the first king. David was his successor. And so this kind of talk about no kingdom, no real king, there is no warrant for that kind of skepticism or whatsoever.
In the year 2012, word leaked out that a fragment of the Gospel of Mark had been discovered in an Egyptian mummy's mask. The mask, part of Egyptian funeral rites, was made of linen and papyrus. Researchers were able to separate fragments of papyrus. One such fragment appeared to be a portion of the Gospel of Mark.
So we have a mask with reason to believe the mask itself shouldn't be dated any later than the end of the first century, and within this mask was recovered a fragment of the Gospel of Mark.
What's really exciting about the find is its age.
The people working on this project have their reason to believe that it could date as early as the 80s, which would date it about 20 years or so after the original Mark was written.
If confirmed, this would be the oldest example of the Gospels ever discovered. It would put it to within 50 years of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. A scholarly publication of the find is expected to be published in 2017. Who knows what the next discovery will be? Perhaps a first-hand account of someone who met Jesus. Time will tell. To learn more about biblical archaeology, go to biblicalarchaeology.org. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will return after these messages.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jimmy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
bear. That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us live, streaming, archived.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the way long as the Lutheran 500.
Jesus challenged us at the Great Commission to make disciples of the nations. Now that often means sending missionaries to foreign lands to preach the gospel, but increasingly the different nations are coming to the United States. Pastor Daniel Vogel is a missionary in the Iowa West District. He ministers to many Spanish-speaking immigrants who are settling small towns in Iowa. The Western District recognized the demographic shift and saw both a challenge and an opportunity for the Synod and the new immigrants as well.
The motivation really came from the churches that began to see in Western Iowa that the Hispanics were coming into the communities and wanted to do something about that. So the district organized a committee to look into that, and since I was Spanish-speaking and I was part of that and was able to work with the original congregations to begin the work by finding ways of making contacts with
Pastor Vogel is a Spanish speaker who spent many years working with the Cuban communities of Miami. When he relocated to rural Iowa, he didn't think he'd ever have to use his Spanish again.
Hispanic immigration, you could say, came to Iowa. I came here in 1997 from Miami, Florida, and was thinking the same thing. I would never use my Spanish again.
But the latest wave of immigration brought people to the Midwest seeking work. Many found employment in the meatpacking industry, which flourishes in Iowa.
But about that time, they started coming into our small Western Iowa communities and throughout the state and the Midwest to work in meatpacking plants especially.
Vogel is located in Western Iowa town of Denison, a community of about 8,000 souls. The community's economic life is based on meat packing.
Denison's a small community, about 8,000 population. It has four meat packing plants. The largest is a pork plant.
One of the companies owning meatpacking facilities is Tyson Foods. Tyson is described as a faith-friendly company that goes out of its way to see to the spiritual well-being of its workers. It employs a number of chaplains, including Pastor Vogel.
The second largest is a beef plant, which where I work as a chaplain.
The meatpacking industry uses unskilled labor for many of its jobs, and this is a draw for the new immigrants.
There's a lot of unskilled labor needs, so we have immigrants from Hispanic countries, African countries, and a few Asians, but the largest group would be from Hispanic countries.
The Hispanic immigrants are overwhelmingly Christian, although few are Lutherans. Vogel says that while many Hispanics reflect the Roman Catholic heritage, an increasing number are Pentecostal.
The Hispanic population is changing, and has changed in the last 20 years quite dramatically. So while most Hispanics come from a Roman Catholic background, many are not, and I would say predominantly as many are from Pentecostal backgrounds now.
The influx of Spanish-speaking immigrants is making itself felt in the town of Denison's spiritual life.
Interestingly enough, in Denison, a little town of Denison, we have 12 English-speaking churches, but we have 15 Spanish-speaking churches.
Spreading Lutheranism to the Hispanic culture faces a number of challenges. Very few Hispanic immigrants know anything about Lutheranism. Pastor Vogel says those who have some knowledge of Lutheranism often have the wrong information.
Most Hispanics know very little about Lutheranism. If they do, they have heard that Martin Luther was a heretic and only wanted to get married and that sort of thing.
The key to reaching this population with the gospel message was outreach. Vogel says the Western District of Iowa saw that there were no public services available that catered specifically to that population segment. The Missouri Synod moved in and filled the need.
So we have used English language classes, citizenship classes. At the very beginning, we started an information office in town because there was no public source of helping immigrants become associated with or familiar with the community in their own language.
At first, Hispanics did not know about the services offered by the Missouri Synod's Western District. Pastor Vogel says the mission began by literally approaching each new family as it arrived and offering a helping hand.
A lot of it was word of mouth, visiting with them. And one of the things our first missionary did was kind of have a welcome wagon type of a thing. When new families came into the community, we would go over with groceries and of course, English language classes is a very big draw. And so it was, you know, a little one by one, family by family, until the word got out that we were able to, we were the place to come for help.
Not only was the district able to provide social services, it gave Synod workers a chance to meet the newcomers on a one-on-one basis.
And that gave us an opportunity to meet them and to visit with them and then, of course, share our faith, start Bible studies, and start a worship service.
Martin Luther spoke and wrote of the necessity of preaching the gospel in the language of the people. Pastor Vogel says the Concordia Publishing House and Lutheran Heritage Foundation have been of great help in that area.
Concordia has done a wonderful job, Concordia Publishing House, at providing Spanish language materials. Lutheran Heritage Foundation has prepared a wonderful Bible that we use in our Hispanic churches in Iowa District West.
The mission not only helps spread the good news of the gospel and Luther's message, but it helps the newcomers assimilate into American society by teaching citizenship classes.
It's part of our outreach to the community, and Hispanics are very, as well as other immigrants, but we predominantly work with Hispanic folks who are interested in becoming American citizens.
The nations are coming to us. And good corporate neighbors, such as Tyson Foods, realize that their workers' spiritual needs are just as important as their physical requirements.
Well, it's not. Tyson is really kind of one of the largest corporations to do that. It's a corporate decision. They've been doing it since, let's see, I've been a chaplain for 10 years there. about the year 2000 they started. We had, Tyson has about 130 either part-time or full-time chaplains throughout all of their plants and in the United States.
There are many people from many different nations who are coming to us.
We have, here in Western Iowa, the small communities, we have an amazing influx of folks from all over the world. In fact, at our Tyson plant, which is a plant of only 400 workers, we have Africans from about five different African countries, and as I said before, Hispanics from probably about 10 different Hispanic countries.
Lutheran missionaries travel the world spreading the gospel message, but sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Pastor Vogel says a lot of mission work is to be done right here in the United States.
Our church needs to really understand the great mission field we have right here in our own communities and all throughout the United States, not just in the cities like Miami or Chicago, but here in the Midwest.
Scripture is clear. God wants us to spread his message to the world, and he's making it easier for us by bringing the world here to us. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
World Lutheran News Digest can be heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 Central Time on KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us next week for another edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen. World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.